Now, we're joined today by Professor Richard Porter. His main interests are in the treatment of mood disorders, and he's conducted many studies into the neurobiology and has worked with adults for a long time. Wonderful to meet and talk with you today, Professor Richard Porter. Hi, Richard. Kia ora. I think this is a very important area for discussion, but perhaps even more importantly, Richard, for some action. What do you see as the most significant consequences of people with intellectual disabilities not being explicitly recognised within the mental health and wellbeing roadmap?
Well, I think, as is quite clear, this is the most vulnerable group of people, or at least one of the very most vulnerable group of people in our society. And when treating mental health problems for people with intellectual disability, we have lots of other issues to deal with, including lots of physical illnesses such as epilepsy that people have, as well as mental health problems, difficulties in communicating, particular genetic syndromes that give rise to lots of physical and mental health difficulties. And without specialist and really multidisciplinary treatment, it's I think these people unfortunately get very poor treatment sometimes in the system, and the system's very patchy across New Zealand. There's some areas where there is some specialist services, others where there's really very little. For families trying to support their whānau member, you know, it's very difficult to navigate that system. So it is a mess at the moment.
Well, I suppose if it's a mess at the moment, it's been a mess for 200 years. So
it has, and
we haven't prioritised it. Those who have intellectual disabilities, are they incapable of advocating for themselves? Do they need somebody else? Or do you think that that's a stereotypical sort of observation, that in fact people with intellectual disability challenges might in fact be able to speak for themselves? Sort of clear that little issue up for a moment, if you wouldn't mind, Richard.
Well, it's a huge range. From some people are not able to communicate at all. Some people are very able to communicate, but perhaps don't grasp some of the complexities of decisions about their health. So the people that I treat range from, being reasonably able to function in some areas of their life to really requiring full care for everything they do. So it's a vast range of people.
How can national mental health data collection and reporting, Richard, be improved to better identify and address inequities experienced by people with intellectual disability?
Well, I think that is a first step to collect data in a systematic and good way. Although, I think that takes time, and we certainly don't want to wait for that data to become available in 5 years' time to be taking action to improve treatment for people right now. And one of the problems is that the services for these people are just not there in most parts of the country. I don't want to focus on data, because we'll be waiting a long time. It is an important issue, but I think we need to do something straight away.
Yeah, what would you like to see happen then?
Well, even as a basic starter in the area of mental health problems for these people, there's a specialist service here in Christchurch. There is a bit of a service in Dunedin and Hamilton and Auckland, and perhaps in the Hawke's Bay. But really, in most parts of the country, there is no dedicated service for people with intellectual disability. Mm-hmm. So psychiatrists around the country, we all know how busy the services are. They then don't have the experience or the time to help people with a complex mixture of you know, often two or three mental health diagnoses at the same time, plus physical health problems, plus communication difficulties. That's something that takes time and experience to help people with, and a team that includes, you know, experienced psychologists, psychiatrists, nurses with experience in that area. So we need these services to be set up and supported.
Tēnā koe. I'm curious about the Māori dimension within this corridor and discussion point, Richard, yeah. And suspect that many of our people want the best for their loved ones who are living life with an intellectual disability and therefore would become strong advocates for them. I'm not saying it's unique, because all families no doubt would feel the same. Is there a cultural dimension to the corridor we're sharing today that you think needs to be elevated?
Well, I certainly think there's a cultural dimension to the way that people with intellectual disability are cared for, and there are some wonderful Māori providers, and you know, often people with intellectual disability are cared for within the whānau in a really superb way. But at the same time, that can sometimes put an undue burden on families, and there can be a reluctance to use services that are not set up often in a particularly culturally responsive way. So I think there is definitely a cultural issue in the way that people with intellectual disability are cared for that isn't accounted for in services currently.
Thank you, Richard. Given the limited specialist workforce in intellectual disability mental health, what workforce development priorities should policymakers and service providers focus on over the next, let's say, 5 years?
I think there are a number of parts of the workforce, and at the most basic, the support and training for the people who are caring for people with intellectual disability is really important. So the services that care for people, sometimes in residential care, sometimes in their own homes, that there's a lot of training that could be provided to help the carers. Then there's the work, you know, the professional workforce, psychiatrists, psychologists, nurses, occupational therapists. There's the need to increase that workforce, increase the numbers dramatically. And then there's the workforce outside the mental health area. So we work very closely with neurologists and other physical health specialists, but again, that's difficult for them without a lot of experience to work with people where communication difficulties are really just extreme sometimes. So I think there's a across the whole workforce training to try and help people with work with people with intellectual disability and the comorbid conditions like autism. I think there's relatively little training in helping people with autism, which is very common in intellectual disability. So there's a huge need.
Tēnā koe, you're a professor of psychiatry, so I'm curious also to know whether or not we've got many tauira Māori at Varsity who are studying the lines of inquiry that have been at the core of your professional career. What would you say of numbers of interest in this aspect of Māori health, Richard?
Yeah, I think it's a really important issue, and we are always looking out for young Māori people to mentor them through both the health, you know, professional training pathways, and also academic pathways, so that research is done in a way that benefits Māori. And, you know, I have an excellent young PhD student at the moment, Māori PhD student, but it would be great to have more Māori in both the academic and the mental health professional field. But there are certainly some increases and improvements in that area, but not enough.
But not enough, and not as fast as we would like. Professor Richard Porter with us today. Richard, thank you for raising an issue that we tend not to talk about often, but perhaps right in there lies the problem. So I do appreciate your expertise and kōrero on our platform today. Mauri ora, kia koe, te rangatira. Thanks so much for joining us on our program, Richard. Tēnā koe.
Nanehi.